For the last few weeks, we've heard the Gospel read and the texts preached on of chapter 6 of St. John's Gospel. And today's reading concludes the chapter. So let's begin by exploring verse 56, that first verse we heard. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me and I in him. I suppose it's inevitable that some of the activities which we take part in church and some of our beliefs must sometimes seem strange, if not bizarre, to those who are outside the church. And there's nothing new about that. Some of the things which Jesus himself said and did had the same sort of effect on his hearers. When he talked of himself as the bread of life, saying he was the bread which came down from heaven, many of his listeners were disapproving. This is Jesus. We know his father and his mother. How can he now say that I've come down from heaven? And when he went on further and said, the bread which I shall give is my own flesh. I give it for the life of the world. An angry row broke out. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? How indeed? And even more startling, his words, in truth I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you can have no life in you. Hardly surprising that in the early days of the church, some of its opponents brought charges of cannibalism against the Christians, especially as they continued in eating bread and calling it the body of Christ and drinking wine and saying it was Christ's blood. Let's consider those words again and see if we can find what Jesus meant and what St. John understood from them, so that we can learn a little more about the taking of bread and wine and have a greater understanding and of their relevance for life today. Whoever eats my bread, my flesh, and drinks my blood lives in me and I in him. On the face of it, it suggests something sickening, even disgusting. But looking at it more closely, the two phrases, we can see that we can understand what it says to us today. And I think we'll find something of importance about our relationship with Christ. First then, what is the meaning of eating his flesh? Well, especially in John's Gospel, flesh means manhood. When he talks of the flesh of Jesus, he's thinking of him as a real man, which he was. So here, this saying of Jesus, put into more understandable terms, means feed your heart and mind and soul on the real humanity of Christ and let that give you strength for your humanity. It's important for us to remember that Jesus was a real man, completely human. Of course, it's deeply important that we see him as God come amongst us. But we always need to remember that he came from the eternal world, but as one who completely shared our humanity. The disciples who he called to be with him didn't respond to a ghostly, godlike figure, but to a man with a compellingly attractive human personality. This is the true wonder of God facing our human situations, struggling with our human problems, battling with our human temptations, which we have to battle with, living life as we do, with our human relationships. When you are tired with life, as we all are at some time or another, disgusted with your failures, worn down by difficult or what seems to be impossible situations, lift your hearts up, because Jesus went through all that, and as well, and he bore them and came out triumphantly. In Terry Waite's autobiography called Taken on Trust, he tells that he survived all those years of captivity by his deep faith in God and thoughts of the suffering of Jesus. They were dreadful years in which his dependence on Christ kept him going. Isn't this what it means to eat his flesh, strengthening our relationship with him, who became truly man, so that his power to live triumphantly is ours also? As we come forward in a few minutes, we eat a wafer of bread and we think of it as his human life broken for us, his suffering to offer us his love and forgiveness. And as we eat it, it reminds us in a powerful way that our only hope of achieving true humanity is to stay close to Jesus in our response to his love and loyalty. Secondly, Jesus also spoke of the necessity to drink his blood, and even more sickening thoughts to some, and one which I doubt those outside the faith could even begin to understand. But what he was saying was, true meaningful life for you comes from taking my life into the centre of your being, and that life of mine is the life which belongs to God. In the Daily Study Bible by William Barclay, he tries to explain it a bit further like this. In a bookcase is a book which a man has never read. One day he takes it down and reads it and is thrilled and moved by the story, so much so that it stays with him. And he reflects on it and feeds his mind on it. Before, the book was external to him, but now it's become part of him and he can feed his mind on it. So it is with Jesus, but even more so, because to a Christian, he's not just an outstanding character in a book, but he is our Lord, who we stand in close spiritual relationship with, and we draw strength and meaning from the wonder of his life, love and friendship. Perhaps if Jesus were teaching like this today, he wouldn't talk about drinking his blood, but would use the imagery of, more familiar to us, of a blood transfusion. Just think how many lives have been saved by the giving of someone else's blood that has flowed into their veins, becoming part of them, a life-giving flow. Surely that's what Jesus meant by drinking his blood, that his life force should pulse through us, giving us new strength, new meaning and purpose. These words of Jesus to eat his flesh and drink his blood clearly have a connection with the Eucharist. No, he wasn't saying, unless you come to Holy Communion and take the bread and wine, you're not a real Christian. But he was saying that what that sacred act of communion involves and means is essential to our relationship with God. And that's why what we do together in communion is so important. Reminding ourselves of the wondrous mystery that God became man for us, so that we can have the potential to achieve true humanity as we continue day by day to feed our minds and hearts and souls on him, reminding ourselves that we never have to cope with life alone. It is his life, his power, which is available to surge through us. John's Gospel tells us that at the Last Supper in Jerusalem, Jesus said to his disciples, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" He was probably referring to his washing the disciples' feet. But let's extend that question beyond that act. Do I understand the mystery of God's love? Do I understand all this about a relationship with God, who became man in Jesus and shared our humanity? Well, no, I don't. Because his love is too deep for my understanding, and my mind is too small and too human to understand him. But I don't need full understanding to experience the mystery of his love. All I need is faith and the will to reach out to him, because he is the secret of reality. So let's discover again that reality and experience the wonder of his love as we come forward to receive, because the bread and wine are no ordinary food. This is the real humanity of our Lord Jesus. This is his life, in which he offers us a share. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.